First of all, welcome to our BSP Monday show. And we had a very inspiring chat, I think, on Friday night. We talked with, this is far out. Is there going to be there's a Hall of Fame game happening at here on the West Coast, 9 o'clock. So we had a very inspiring chat, BSP chat on Friday night. And from it, I took that I got very inspired because there were some great ideas, and it looks like it's something we can pull together. And what I mean by that is what we call HendryCon, and we will have a special, free admission to the party for BSPs. We're going to try to work special reduced rates for hotel rooms for up to, 1,000 people. We're going to then also have a beer and wine host bar, and the rest of it is like on you, meaning hard liquor, which basically means I'll be paying for my drinks too, because I'm not that much of a beer and wine drinker anymore. And then we would have entertainment, myself, maybe 2-3 other comics who will get up and do some crazy shit. I don't know. We'll see who's in town, so you can come over and maybe make an appearance. It would be awesome. See what we can work out with them. But it's now kind of coming together in my head as a doable thing. And I just don't want it to be a fiasco. So there's a lot of planning that goes into it. And I know that we have Allie, who is one of our BSPs, and she's an event among many things that she does. She is an event planner. She's in New York, and she's offered her services, which I really appreciate, Allie. But I don't want to dump all of that on one person, on you. I think what we need is the help of a multitude, a whole army of people, and then we would have a special job for you, Allie, which would be to just stand there in all your beauty and say, good evening and welcome to the Phil. I'm sorry, you, oh no, I'm, we won't let you in, you're too ugly or something, I don't know, or you're not ugly enough or something, but you'll be our greeter, Now, again, we'll kind of ride this roller coaster together. There may be days where you hear me say, like, I don't even think we'll be able to fucking do it. I'm too busy. There's other shit going on. It may, it could very well come down to that, because we don't perfectly, to be perfectly clear, we don't have a an event planning arm of the company. And it's all about budget and all that shit, Not that we don't have the money for it, but planning something like that, a really good one, is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of, it's going to be a six-figure thing, at least, probably much more. And, I don't know, but you want to make sure you get your money's worth. You also want to work out a variety of sponsorship deals. I think the way to do it is to have people working on a commission, making sure we get sponsorship, and to that end we get people pursuing that on behalf of the Phil Hendry Show and the Phil Hendry podcast, who are commissioned and pull in some decent advertisers, pull in as the advertiser of the hotel. I don't know, man. It's going to really, I think a lot of it's going to have to do with where our downloads are in terms of attracting advertiser interest for that. Right now, we've just got the good news that DraftKings is on board with us through the first month of the football season. I mean, that's a pretty decent commitment, and then they sort of take it one step at a time. But they've liked their results, and so they're with us, because they're going to be rolling out, obviously, their betting jackpots and the various flights and the different games and the different ways that you can enter DraftKings during the preseason and during the early months of the season, sort of getting everybody up to speed on that. That's this is a new sponsor for us. You know, we were with FanDuel last year because we were with a different platform, with a different company, Sideshow. Now they're with Podcast One. They have a relationship with DraftKings. The other news that we got, Podcast One has a 30% stake in Podcast One has been purchased by Hubbard Broadcasting. So this is obviously something that a company does when they want to make sure they've got their hand in something that they feel could be lucrative down the road. This is Hubbard Broadcasting is a pretty significant company. It's not as big as Clear Channel or Cumulus. I don't know when it comes to Cox Broadcasting. Cox downsized to media markets a number of years ago. Hubbard, whose CEO is a scion of the family, Ginny Hubbard, is a pretty decent sized company, and they are out of the Twin. Well, yeah, they're out of the Twin Cities, pretty much. I think that's their home base. But they have invested in Podcast One. Why? Well, they want to, they believe, and you know, it's been a number of years now, but they believe that there is a significant number of ears that are going to podcasts, and they want to take advantage of that. It doesn't mean jack shit for us or any other podcaster, really, because I mean, it does, but it doesn't mean anything in terms of, oh, wow, you know, because this is a you know, we own our own company, basically. What Podcast One is a distribution platform and a sales platform, and that's it. They are not they do not own the content, nor do they technically have editorial control of the content. But what they do is they put on their platform shows that they think are going to pull a sufficient number of downloads to interest advertisers. And I guess they've gotten that to the point now where Hubbard Broadcasting has decided they want to be involved in that, which is really great. What does it mean for us? Well, it means that the company that, you know, distributes our show or, you know, is on sound financial footing. You know, it means that maybe a Podcast One with that extra injection of money can hire more people in terms of marketing and sales so that they're out, you know, really humping extra hard on behalf of us and other shows. That's really it. I'm not belittling the great achievement of everybody at Podcast One in making that deal happen. That's fantastic for their company. It really is. And it's good for us, but not from the standpoint of, wow, a new bunch of guys have bought us, and do I have a job tomorrow or not? Are they going to downsize? Are they going to, you know, because that's oftentimes what happens when a majority interest comes into a company. They do a whole bunch of shit with it. And if you work directly for that company, you know how it is. But, or on the good side of that, they can say, oh, wow, there's new money. We're all going to get raises. Or there's going to be, our department is going to expand. Or we're going to get more people hired. Or, you know, we're going to get big and bad. And, you know, and that's probably what's happening over at Podcast One right now. They're saying, wow, this is cool. You know, our company's getting bigger. That's great for the guys that work at Podcast One. For those of us whose shows they distribute, it just means that we're on pretty solid footing there, you know, with regard to that company. And I know, I don't want to speculate, and this is not any fucking thing that you should quote, because you'll wind up sounding dumb if you do. I mean, I don't mean that. What I mean is, don't say that what you're hearing now is gospel, because people say it's, you know, not true. There's rumor mill works in our business like any other business. And the rumor mill is that Earwolf is looking to sell out to a bigger company. That Earwolf is looking, the original investors and owners of Earwolf have built the company to a certain level. Now they're going to cash in, meaning they'll sell to a bigger company. I don't know who that would be. I hope that the podcasting business doesn't go the way of the broadcast business, which is basically, let's just fucking sell it to anybody. I doubt it. You know, there's too much upside right now with podcasting as opposed to radio broadcasting, which is really sort of just, you know, wherever it is. I mean, I was looking at a chart that was put together by Talkers Magazine not too long ago, and it had the top 30 radio shows in terms of listenership. And the number one show is still Rush Limbaugh. 13 million a week. Now, that's a cum number. And by cum, I mean that's just the number of people that tune in and tune out. That's not the same as saying 13 million hardcore committed listeners. That's what's called a quarter hour number. They didn't have that number. They just showed the total number of people that sampled Rush's show every week, 13 million. And then I think the second was Hannity at around 10 and down from there. Now, it was not, in their own words, scientific. It was drawn from a number of different sources. And then the very interesting proviso that they put at the bottom of that was, and this is an interpretation by the Talker's staff. Well, what does that mean? However, let's just say that it's true that Rush has 13 million cum. I mean, that's his number. The fact that he's been moved off of big stations onto smaller stations, in the case here in Los Angeles it happened, I don't know where else, I think New York. The fact that large signals are not commanding the ad dollars for him that they once did, and that's causing them to make room for shows that might. It tells me that that something's happening here that is sort of a bellwether in some businesses, and that is that the tracking of audience or the tracking of advertisers is often slow to catch up to the reality, especially in the case of this Talkers list, which is, as they said, compiled by their staff and interpreted by their staff. And I think what Talkers is doing there is that they're a little bit behind the ball. Now, I don't doubt that of all the radio shows that are national, Rush is the number one show. For instance, absent from that list, just so you know that it's not really a list of the greatest talent in audio entertainment, Howard Stern is nowhere on that list. Opie and Anthony are nowhere on that list. And on it goes. Those guys are on radio. They're on Sirius. They're on satellite radio. This is a tracking of terrestrial radio. So, you know, say what you will, say what you might. It's not a very accurate thing. But given the fact that it's not accurate, it's also probably slow in tracking the listening habits of people. Now, I'm not saying that Rush isn't number one, but I am saying that he's on a downward curve there, and how they jockey for position as they all go down the shitter, that's a harsh way to put it, but as they jockey for position as they're all going down, sliding downhill, it probably doesn't matter. So, you know, therefore you ask yourself the question, why is Talkers even doing that? Well, one of the things they're trying to do is keep the medium of talk radio alive. When you look at all of these top shows, the top 10 on that list I was talking about, every last one of them is a conservative talk radio show. There's nothing there that is the least bit inclined toward entertainment or personality driven from the standpoint of it's not a political talk show, that it's a comedy show, a satire show, whatever you want to call it. There's nothing there. You say, well, that's because everybody's listening to... Well, there's one problem. Like I said, the numbers are going down. So if everybody's listening to conservative radio, if the thing that's keeping the heartbeat of talk radio alive is conservative listenership, it's dying, basically. It's not enough. It's not sufficient nutrition and protein. The body is dying. The organism is dying. And nothing is being done to arrest that. There's not one show on there of all of the fucking shows, folks. Now, I gotta look this up again, man. I didn't see one fucking sports show. I didn't see Rome on there. I'm going to look and see here. Talker's top. It was on Twitter, I think, but I'll double check. And maybe what I ought to do is just go over here to the Talkers. Whoops. See what we can do here. You know, I'm telling you, man, I am really getting burned out on this shit, dude. Google search. This is really fucked up. What is this story here, man? Are you telling me, man, that I am not plugged in? Are you telling me I got no fucking internet? Motherfucker! I'm not gonna break my fucking ass on this shit. God damn it. Well, I was gonna flash over to the internet here and we don't have any connection. This fucking Time Warner situation has gotten to, you know, we got off of Time Warner in terms of our actual television access, but I can't get off of these motherfuckers at Time Warner in terms of internet access. And so what I've got here is a constant battle. Let me just see if I can... Let's see some manifest. We have had a clusterfuck, and I'm so utterly pissed off, man. Look at this. Okay, so we're online here. The only problem is I'm not really getting... Waiting for SoundCloud. Oh, that's great, man. Look at this shit. Oh, there's SoundCloud. All right, so what I wanted to do here, I'm not going to be able to do. What I wanted to do is demonstrate something to you, but I'm going to have to let him know. Actually, I don't think I will. Just fuck it. Oops, cancel. Doing here is trying to find a connection to the wonderful world of Disney here, man. You know, do something here, man. I mean, if I was on motherfucking Phil Hendry's show, let me go to Google. No, it ain't gonna take my ass to Google. This fucking piece of shit. I don't give a shit, man. Let the chips fall where they may, man. You know. I let the shit fall where it may, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we gotta get motherfucking Time Warner out here. Hey, Time Warner, fuck you, man. God damn it. What is the fucking major goddamn thing, man? Well, we're gonna get a new modem on Monday, so... Look at this shit. Wish I could show you what I wanted to show you. Anyway, they were talking about, sports radio, not just talk. Sports radio is the heir apparent to talk radio. But I'm telling you right now, look at this. Now we have the internet back. Look at this shit, man. You gotta fucking believe this, man. Fuck me. There's the goddamn internet. I don't have any idea what this shit is, man. They said they had no outages. I've had intermittent service of this motherfucker for so long. I had to show a repairman where the problem probably was at the connection. He went up. Probably it's gotten blown loose again. Just utterly embarrassing. When you see these big mergers, when you see AT&T merging with DirecTV, I'm here to tell you that the service is going to get shit. I just know it will. I mean, I'll hold on to DirecTV for as long as I can, but it's going to get shitty. It's going to get fucking lousy. Just will. Just as it got fucking shitty when, this whole merger of Time Warner with whoever, whoever merged with Time Warner to turn it into whatever it is. I mean, that was bad fucking news, man, when I heard about AT&T merge. Are you kidding? Who the fuck? What kind of brains have you got in your fucking head to think that AT&T merging with anything is good? Are you kidding? Only people who probably fucking work for AT&T and want to see that, or people who are invested in it and want to see that stock price get higher. A fucking TNT? I've had their shit can fucking wireless service. Are you kidding? Their wireless service is the worst. The fucking worst. The worst, man. It's like dealing with a fucking water, it's like dealing with any bureaucrat. They're not people providing a service. They're not a company looking to impress you. They're a bunch of assholes answering the phone because they have to, because it's part of their agreement with the FCC and the federals to actually answer the phone and talk to people and maybe give a little service every now and again. Your goddamn service at AT&T Wireless is a piece of shit. So don't give me that shit. And then you're going to take a company that I was very happy with, DirecTV, and now you motherfuckers are in bed with them. That's great. I can only anticipate what kind of fucking nightmares that's going to be. No, don't fucking kid me, man. Don't give me this bullshit about how, aren't we all happy that AT&T is now... No. Don't act like a jagoff, man. I read some of these motherfuckers on Twitter. Well, now, that's good news. No, it's not good news. Now, I'd be happy to eat these words. Anyway, let me... Talkers. T-A-L-K-E-R. Talkers. Top radio shows. Top national... let's try that, just for kicks. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we not connected anymore? Jesus Christ, can you believe it? Here we go. Here we go. Is this the... Now, I'm thinking maybe this is the... Yeah, this is it. Take a look at this, you guys. If you see... Because I'm not completely familiar with all these shows. But if you see a sports show, let me know. I mean... Now, there's fine print here. You can take a screenshot of this if you want. Read this fine print, because the story really isn't this fine print. It is like, I'm here to tell you, look at this. Not one fucking sports show. Top talk radio audiences. QM estimates 6+ in millions, running out the nearest 25 upon Talker Magazine analysis of national sampling of ratings reports and other media sources, supported by a variety of recent indicators, and the report is divided up monthly. Top rate. Now, maybe this is just news talk, which even is kind of, it's sort of fucking absurd, man. It's like saying we only sell strawberry ice cream and there's 900 million other, but let's just see who sells more strawberry ice cream than anybody else. And once we find out who sells more strawberry ice cream, man, that'll be a big fucking story, not. So this thing here is top talk radio audiences. Well, I mean, look, if you say talk radio, man, I'm going to throw into that sports talk. Otherwise, this would say news talk. This is talk radio. Oh, wait. And others, as they relate to talk shows on news talk formatted radio stations and online streams. These figures are nonsense. Okay, as they relate to news talk. So what Talkers has done here is they've thrown out all the sports talk shows. They've thrown out personality talk, news talk, they've really just basically sort of thinned the playing field to what we have here. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Dave Ramsey, Glenn Beck, Mark Levin, Michael Savage, Jim Bohannon, Mike Gallagher, Michael Medved, George Norrie, Doug Steffen, Bill Bennett, Clark Howard, Dennis Miller. Well, Clark Howard is not a fucking news talk show. Clark Howard is a goddamn, is financial advice. And you know as well as I do that there are sports talk shows on talk stations. Now, one fucking, look, it's Kim Komando's on here. Kim Komando is a financial advice show, right? Here's Bubba the Love Sponge is not on a news talk. Bubba the Love Sponge is not on news talk. Bubba the Love Sponge is on personality talk like The Bone or, you know, or rock stations. Todd Schnitt, Stephanie Miller, Don Imus, Alan Combs. Lars Lesniewicz, Jerry Doyle, Kevin McCullough, Eric Harley. I'm telling you, I don't know why, and I said something a number of years ago that, you know, I kind of felt bad about, and I, you know, apologized for it, but I really, I'm sorry that I did, you know, and it's not that I don't like, I like Mike Harrison, he's a wonderful guy, but I don't think your publication, Mike, is doing this business any fucking good, man. I mean, what is this? Do you really honestly fucking believe that this is telling the story of what's happening out there in terms of spoken word, talk, news talk, whatever the fuck? See, well, look at all these numbers. Well, that's fine if this is a real number, but you're telling me this is an interpretation by your staff compiling a lot of different sources. It's not necessarily the exact Nielsen audio number. It's QM. What's the quarter hour on this shit? You know, there's a reality in radio. Your QM can be this high. There'd be a lot of people sampling you. But if you're only holding on to this many people, that's not a successful radio show. In fact, if your QM is not holding on to the point where you have quarter hour, your QM doesn't mean shit. You're going to get fired 9 times out of 10. With a high QM, somebody gives you a high QM and you're not holding on to that audience, you get fired. You may have the highest motherfucking QM in the world. This is a number here that has been manipulated by Mike's staff to make it appear as if these people are still fucking players. I would bet you that in the overall, as far as radio listening goes, these guys are players. But it's not telling you anything about the... And sports talk is the story, because if only to say that sports talk supplanted... uprooted a lot of these shows, these very shows here. Sports Talk got rid of a lot of these shows, took over the spots previously inherited by these shows. So you need to tell that story, you know. You need to tell that story. How much better are those shows doing in replacing these shows? They're not doing that. You know, the advertisers fled, man, I don't think they fled because Rush said some bullshit about... They fled because they were overall tired of the controversy, tired of the having to deal with a lot of belly-aching people, and because it was losing listenership. All right. Time to get our shit together here. Like we like to say... Where's Eyewitness? There we go. And then we have... car radio. Drive. Jim. I just love throwing in these fucking... Oh, the arcade is good and the craps table is good. All right. All right. And then one other... When did it sing? So I just think that has to be taken into consideration, my friends. News. All right. Trump's remarks on women cost him this weekend. Oh, well, let's see. Cost him this weekend. You know, I can understand Trump not backing down because he feels that it's a unique position to not back down is to, you know, do something that nobody else does, which is to, you know, to stand by the comments. Most people apologize. Most people say they were taken out of context. This, that. A lot of people just, in other words, act, quote unquote, wimpy. So I can dig that Trump is saying, let me try this. Let me try something new. How about this? How about I don't back down? How about I say, fuck you? I meant every word. Frank Gifford. I think Harvey is going to talk about Frank Gifford. All right. Poor old Frank, man. I say poor old Frank. He had a good life. He was, Frank Gifford was one of those guys that was born into this world with a lot of gifts, man. Good looking guy, good football player, you know, USC, all this good shit, you know. So why wouldn't you want to see what this is, man? I'm going to take this all the way back here. Go ahead, Frank. Frank Gifford, there, number 40, as a young high school player. Later, Frank played for the University of Southern California, and of course, here he is, cutting back. I saw the color version of this. It's fantastic. As he runs for a touchdown against the Toledo Mud Hens here in the 18-4. There's Frank, handsome stud, laughing and giving the big wink. Here he is, gridiron glamour boy. What is that? He was in this. A Hollywood giant, freaking talented giant. Oh, he's an actor. He was in a movie. There's Alex Webster. The Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, man. I'm ready to go and do this. And I hope you like what we have for you. All right. Here we go, man. 1-2-1-2. Friday's podcast. Test.